got the launch ramp blues. Launch ramp blues.
Welcome back to Beef Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Marco Farrell, co-hosting today. And Marco is quite an experienced angler, but he spends probably more time catching fish under the water than on top of the water.
Yeah, I do. Probably half and half.
Okay. But we also have Toshambi Moore, who represents Navionics. And this is something we've had, haven't had him on for a while, but you know, just things just keep getting better and better. So why don't we introduce Toshambi and let him introduce Navionics and give a kind of an overall. And Marco is not real familiar with it, so you know, maybe he'd like to learn something too. So if you wouldn't mind, why don't you and Marco have a conversation and let's figure out what this is all about.
Very great. Hey, John, thanks so much for having me on. Marco, it's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Well, Navionics really is we collect data. One of the things that we do very well, is kind of a recent change, is crowdsourcing for data. Whether that's sonar log data from GPS chart plotters like Loran, Hummingbird, Raymarine, or if it's collecting what we call community edits from mobile devices, because we also have an application that works on mobile devices. Those are sources of crowdsourced data that enhances and adds to our charts.
Wow. So you've got real-time data coming in, or almost real-time data being updated.
Yeah. Ironically, the community edits data almost is real-time data. So I could put something on my iPhone right now, and in less than 5 minutes, you'd see what I just put on my iPhone, on your iPhone. And it's community policed, and it creates great data. We get about 20,000 changes like that every single week through our community edits layer.
Wow.
So it's really fantastic.
Well, the idea is that you're on a boat, you're on the water, and you've got a transducer that's reading the bottom, and that goes up to the Navionics device. Well, first of all, Navionics will tell you exactly what's underneath you, whether within a couple of inches. You know, if there's a small rock or something, you'll see it. And because of its, you call it crowdsourcing, you've got virtually almost any place that you'd ever want to go fishing, you've got it covered. It's either from your information or from what was given to you.
Yeah, and we take all of that data, whether it's survey data that we've collected ourselves, something we get from NOAA or the Department of Natural Resources, and we combine all of that with live sonar recordings that we're getting from that boat, and we combine that all into one chart called a sonar chart. And that sonar chart is going to give you 1 foot contour data. And if you're doing what we call sonar charts live, which you can actually see on your mobile device, whether it's an iPhone, a Droid, or a tablet, or an iPad, you can see, with sonar charts live, you can see the contours being redrawn on your screen as you go.
Wow.
So it's really cool to watch and really fantastic. And it's data that you can use right away.
And this is just the U.S., or is this worldwide?
It's worldwide.
Worldwide.
I mean, we collect data all over the world and recreate maps for the install base of users of Navionics.
Okay. And so how does this data get uploaded? Do I need to go back home when I get home, or is it, you said it's live, so how do you get it?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways, and this is one of the things that sets Navionics apart from some of our competitors. Through a process called Freshest Data, which includes three things: nautical charts, which is a basic chart data that everyone has. And it also includes the two pieces of crowdsourced data that I just talked about, community edits and the sonar charts. If you're doing sonar charts live, once that data is collected onto your mobile device and you step back onto into your home Wi-Fi network, it uploads to Navionics automatically.
Oh, great. Right?
Yeah, so if you're recording through a GPS charpotter with an actual blank card inside of that is very simple still. You take that card out of your GPS charpotter, whether it's a Lowrance, Hummingbird, Raymarine, Simrad, doesn't matter. Take that home, stick it into your computer, go to navionics.com, downloads and updates, and you upload that to our Navionics database. Within about 7 days, we can recreate brand new maps from that data.
Wow.
Now, Tachambi, to most of us, what we want is to be able to see what's on the bottom when we're on the boat, as if there's no water there. You could just look down and see it. So, sure. You know, and so what equipment does it take, and what do you do, and how do they do that? If you want to install one of your devices with a transponder, I assume, and read the bottom, are you reading it on your phone, on a screen, or how does that work?
Well, if you're doing sonar charts live, any chart plotter that creates a Wi-Fi network on the boat. So, as an example, the Lowrance Gen 3, that has a built-in Wi-Fi. It creates a Wi-Fi network on the boat that's connected to your phone that has the Navionics app on it. Once it's connected on the screen of your iPhone, you'll see a 2D sonar on the bottom and mapping on the top. And you'll actually see your boat icon. Because it's connected to, it has a GPS built into the phone, you'll see your boat icon actually redrawing the maps on the screen. So that's sonar charts live. So you're actually seeing it as it's being done.
There's several
different types of chart plotters that'll do that with the Wi-Fi network.
I was going to say, I've seen you with that app, and you can be in a lake that's maybe only 20, 30 feet deep. And you can actually know and see every rock and crevice and cranny, or you can be out on the ocean in 300 feet of water, and you know if there's a little bit of a rock pile or any structure around, it is invaluable because everybody knows that fish, you know, there's a big ocean out there, and yeah, there's a lot of them that just swim around. But most of the best fishing and the most catching is around structure and protection.
And that structure is going to change. I mean, there could be a new shipwreck, there could be a landslide. There's all sorts of things that happen that aren't reflected on a paper map.
Right. And to be honest with you, on electronic maps, a lot of things aren't reflected. And just the nature of the beast, there are millions of errors out there on these charts. But the question is, once you find those errors, how do you correct them, number one? And then number two, how do you get them back out to the public so that they have correct and safe data for them to navigate with? And that's what the precious data is all about.
Well, it sounds
we collect through the mobile devices. You know, if there's a buoy that's been moved, that can be changed on the community edits layer and out and republished back to our main database so that on the GPS chart plotters, you can see those edits. Same thing with the sonar charts and a sonar log. That will correct data. If data is not correct out there, it'll capture things that haven't been correct on the chart. We now can make them correct and through Freshest Data and the year's worth of updates that you get when you buy an Navionics card. You can have those changes.
Almost sounds like an unfair advantage. But let's talk a little bit about the realities of it. What does it cost, and you know, how do you get it?
Well, if we're talking about mobile, you can get a Navionics app on your mobile device for about $15, $14.99 to be exact. You can put it on your iPad, a little bit more expensive, about $54. For a GPS chart plotter, something that you would actually buy and plug into your unit, that's going to cost anywhere from $199 to $400, depending on what chart you buy.
And another quick question for you. We're starting to run out of time here.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of new fish enclosures and protected areas. Do you you will have those updated?
As a matter of fact, we have all of those closures now off the coast of Los Angeles, where you're out there, and we're developing the same closure information all up and down the entire West Coast.
Okay, well,
they are currently on our chart.
I think it's our time. How do we get in touch with Navionics.com?
Yep, Navionics.com for more information. There's a great resource on our website called it.
All right, Tachambi, I'll be talking to you soon, hopefully in the next month.
first named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico, still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto to experience an incredible world-class fishing adventure and compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th through July 2nd and offers an opportunity to catch Dorado during its peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. Located on the Sea of Cortez, known as the Aquarium of the World, the islands of Loreto are known for their calm indigo waters and nearly 1,000 species of fish. The islands of Loreto offers guests the chance to hook their next big catch, including striped marlin, yellowfin tuna, grouper, and Dorado. Please join us for the Villa del Palmar's first golf tournament on the spectacular new world-class golf course. Come to experience the luxury at Villa del Palmar at the islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
There's a boat race down the river. There's a slow boat on my mind. Everybody's going like crazy, but I'm taking my own sweet time.
Hey, Mark, I didn't know Willie. He's my main man. I didn't know he did anything about fishing. That's awesome. I'm glad you pulled that up. Anyway, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Haney in the studio, and we have Marco Farrell co-hosting today with us. And on the line, we have Jeff. Now, Jeff, I'll just kind of give a quick intro. They have a sporting goods store called Reagan's, like the president, sporting goods store, up in Bishop. And Bishop is, well, it's not a bad place, okay? But it's more of a gateway because, you know, they've got some, you know, some good restaurants. And I guess, I don't know, I guess the Smokehouse is still there?
Yep, Smokehouse is still here. Mm-hmm. We've got Texas-style Smokehouse Barbecue.
Mm-hmm. But and they've got a great sporting goods store. So if you're going to be fishing the Eastern Sierras, you got to stop in at Reagan's. Yeah. But what Jeff's going to give us a little bit of an idea about, hopefully, is about the Eastern Sierras. Now they're in Bishop, but for, you know, I guess you'd probably go maybe 50 to 75 miles north and south. It's just an incredible area. It's right down below the Mammoth Lakes area, you know, and down from Bridgeport and just right above Mount Whitney. And on the top of Mount Whitney, it's the highest peak in the continental United States. And when you look down, you're looking to the Death Valley, the lowest place in the United States. So it's a very interesting area. But why don't I just turn this over to Jeff and to Marco, and let's figure out why anybody would want to go there.
Got it.
So, Jeff, last year I went up to June Lake for the first time, to the Eastern Sierras, and man, what incredible country. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, June Lake, you're 100% right. June Lake, the whole loop is it is beautiful country. You've got a few different lakes that are easy access lakes to get to. Grant Lake, Gull Lake, June Lake itself, Silver Lake, all of them have boat rentals. They're all very family friendly. They're all real short, easy hikes. If you wanted to do a day hikes with the family for a quick little lunch outing, or they have some good restaurants up there as well. But mainly just the scenery is absolutely beautiful. There's wildlife everywhere you look, and the fishing is pretty dang good up there as well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you got, say, the scenery, the lakes, the streams, the huge trees, but the fishing is, I can't think of any place in the United States, you know, if you're like salmonoids, that you can come anywhere close. Was it last year or the year before we went up on a trip that was kind of sponsored by Dodge Ram Jeep, and we went up, I mean, you know where it is, I'm trying to remember, but we went after golden trout, which is quite elusive because they, you know, you got to get up to 10,000 feet to find them. And where was that little lake that we went up to? I'm sure you know, it's right below Convict Lake, I believe.
Below it could be Mosquito Flats. It might be in that section, but
well, I know that to get there, you could not take a rental car. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there's no cars. Anytime you're going to try and fish for a golden trout, it's almost 100% guarantee you're not going to be able to take a car, a truck, or any type of a ATV or UTV to them. You're going to have to lace up the boots and do some legwork.
Yeah, well, it's we got up there, but we crawled over some pretty big boulders to get there.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's part of the benefit of the Eastern Sierras. You don't have to fish just the Owens River or those mainstay lakes, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots. If you can fly over the Eastern Sierras in a plane like a Cessna, you'd be absolutely amazed at the amount of little puddles and alpine lakes that we do have here, and most of them do have fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. The fishing is incredible. There's planted fish and native fish.
Right.
And if you're looking for native fish, probably the Eastern Sierras is probably the best way to go. But why don't you come in on both of those? What you have, you go down to the more popular areas, or even like the Owens River, or up to the Mammoth Lakes area or Bridgeport. But give us an idea of what you're going to find and where you'd find it.
Yeah, well, first thing I guess a lot of people don't know about here is the only two actual real native fish to the whole Owens Valley is the Owens Valley Tule Chub and the Owens Valley Pupfish. Neither of them, you can't fish either of them. It's both illegal species of fish. So everything in the Eastern Sierras has at one time been planted by a human being.
Really?
Even some of the high country lakes, they actually used to use mule teams to get fish up to some of those high country lakes.
In the milk cans, right?
Yep. So at one time, all these lakes and streams around this area were planted. They don't plant any of the high alpine lakes or streams now. So what's left over from that is basically remnants from what was planted, I think, maybe in the
100 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite a long time ago. So there, some of those fish are still going really, really strong. If you wanted to get family and kids out for a good time, you know, put a smile on a young kid's face, have them catch their first fish, I would try hitting like your major access points, being like North Lake, Sabrina, South Lake, Parchers, anywhere in the Bishop Creek Canyon. Great fishing in that section. Very friendly, family and friendly orientated.
And what type of gear would one want to bring?
Well, any alpine lakes, I prefer to fish lightweight tackle.
Okay.
Maybe a 5.5 to 6 foot rod, ultra light, so you can feel those bites. Very sensitive. Anywhere from 2 to 6 pound test to kind of be in that heavier side. In these alpine lakes, the water is just crystal clear, and these fish do get a little bit line shy after a month or so of fishing hard. So I do recommend light tackle.
Right.
And if you're going to fish somewhere down, you know, somewhere in the valley, say Owens River or Pleasant Valley Reservoir, you can get away with a little bit heavier gear.
And what type of, you know, are we fishing spinners, castmasters, are we power baiting, worms?
You know, all that stuff does work really well. One of my personal favorites is a fly in a bubble.
Okay.
A woolly bugger, a Sierra bright dot, a good old mosquito. Those always seem to do really well in those high country lakes.
And how do you cast it out? What type of retrieve are you doing with that?
So it's kind of a stop and go retrieve. You'd cast it out. First off, to rig it up, it's a clear bubble that you fill up with water,
okay,
about halfway full of water. And then you give yourself roughly 3.5-4 feet of light leader, 2 or 3 pound leader, behind your bubble. Tie on your whatever fly that you like. You cast them out there, and then you bring them in slow with a little bit of a jerking motion to kind of mimic a bug that's on top of the water.
Okay. And what size fish, you know, I mean, in some of these smaller lakes are going to be smaller fish, but what size fish can we expect? And then what are the big, big fish in there?
Well, I would, in some of those lakes, there's a couple lakes that you have really good chance of getting some of those big fish, like a big brown or a really big rainbow. I would say, I don't know, anywhere from 3 to 6 pounds being some of the better than average fish. Places like Crowley Lake, Sabrina Lake plants some good fish in there. Rock Creek Lakes does. All the lakes have a pretty good fish stocking program for those good, healthy fish. And there's still quite a bit of holdovers from the past years. I would expect an average fish anywhere from 8 to 14, 15 inches in most of the lakes.
Okay.
If you get into like your brook trout, which you would consider more of a native fish, you're probably more in like that 6 to 10 inch slot.
Okay. Yeah, and when I was up there, it was my first time, but I was able to catch quite a few fish just from shore, and I thought that was really cool. You don't have to rent a boat. You've got the access to fishing them right off the shore.
Yeah, sometimes fishing right off the shore is actually a lot more fun than fishing out of a boat. I don't like to bait fish a whole lot. I like to do the spin fishing, but I like fishing lures and your mini jigs and little artificial baits. I like to keep moving. You know, if you don't get a bite in one area in the first 10 minutes, boogie upstream, downstream, or try and go hunt those fish. Go find them. Don't wait for them to find you.
Right. Looks like we're starting to wrap up here. If someone's coming up, how do they get a hold of you? Can they call in and get an updated fish report?
Oh, we're more than happy to help anyone. We'll point anyone in the right location to what we hear every day. Our phone number here at Reagan Sporting Goods is 760-872-3000. And you guys are more than welcome to call anytime.
And do you have a website?
He does have a website. It's ReaganSportingGoods.com.
And do you have a Facebook as well?
HuntFishTheSierra.com.
HuntFishTheSierras.com. Okay, great.
Yes, sir.
I will. I'll be putting up some links on our Facebook page,
and
so we can send some people your way and have them enjoy the incredible Sierra Nevadas that we have here.
If you're planning a trip, go ahead and give a call to the Bishop Visitors and Conference Bureau or to Reagan Sporting Goods, and they can help you out with accommodations, recommendations. And, you know, Bishop is, well, it's, there's, within 45 minutes, you got anything you want. So go ahead and book that up and get in touch with him. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Where the fishing problem. Hey, Mike, I think we need some more cowbell.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto for a world-class fishing adventure. Compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Choose from three packages, a three-night stay for two in a deluxe studio room, fishing tournament fee, entry into the golf tournament at the new golf course, plus awards dinner. Non-anglers can choose up to four services at the resort's award-winning spa and wellness center. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th and runs through July 2nd. It offers opportunity to catch Dorado at peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. All-inclusive packages that include meals and beverages, even an option with round-trip airfare on Alaska Airlines from Los Angeles to the islands of Loreto. Packages start at just $800 per person based on double occupancy. Come experience the luxury of Villa del Palmar at the islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24-7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Take the reel, take it from my hands, 'cause I can't do this on my own.
Welcome back to Quick Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in the studio. Sorry about that, Marco.
No problem.
With co-host Marco Farrell. And we've just been having a great time. We've been visiting the Sierras and finding out a little bit about some, you know, well, you're kind of a geek.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm still not sure I understand everything that Toshambe had to say, but I do know that things are changing, and that is an incredible device because you can be on the water, and 20 feet below you, you have no clue what's there. You know, it could be 20 feet. As far as you know, it could be, you know, 500 feet. But it'll tell you exactly what's there within a foot of where the ledges are, where the things are. And as we all know, anything, well, fish in particular, but, you know, when you're hunting, you know, you always go to the ridge, the edges of, and fishing, it's always the edge of the drop-off next to the rocks or, you know, whatever it is.
Yep.
And, you know, if you can see the fish, fine. But if you know what's exactly what structure is there, it makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, it's come so far. When I started working on the fishing boats, it was just phasing out of Loran, and some of the captains still had paper graphs that they had cut out of the hot spots and fished, taped up to the top of the cabin. So it's kind of been fun to watch them go from that and lining up palm trees on the beach to real-time data. You know, if a big flood comes in and moves some dirt around, moves rocks around in a river, you can be out there the next day and actually see what's happening. So it's just really fascinating how technology has really made it much easier to target fish. And I think
is that fair?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that I think that the fisherman today has also become a lot more in tune to conservation and what it takes to fish responsibly and ethically,
and
fish with gear that's not going to hurt the fish and hurt the fish stock, so that we can come back tomorrow and next month, next year, and so on, and still have fish to target. So it's really come a long way, and our awareness of how important conservation is has really come a long way too, and it's vital to the continuation of what we enjoy doing, the conservation. So, and we're in a big time of change right now, springtime, and.
Well, you know what? I'd like to talk some more about the Eastern Sierras.
Yeah.
Because it really is, no matter where you are. I mean, we've talked to people from Florida and the East Coast and different areas. But there's something about, Yosemite's in the Western Sierras. That's a beautiful place.
Yep.
But the Eastern Sierras, it's got, there's just so many opportunities in so many places. Obviously, Mammoth Mountain is there.
Right.
And, you know, that's, I think, at 11,000 feet. And then 11,058 feet, as I recall, with 25,000 skiable acres.
Yep.
But you just go down the hill, and in the Mammoth Lakes area, you've got Twin Lakes, you've got all these little small places, and there's just so many opportunities that it's not like a campground that it's going to get full because there's so many little ones.
Well, there's just so much going on there, and it you know, I normally like to get where I'm going pretty quickly so that I can do what I'm doing. That's why I'm a power boater and not a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I wish I'd had a week to drive up from LA, because just the geology itself, and there's a great visitor center right when you come into the valley, and it talks about the geology, and there's just so much going on that's, it's right there, and you're kind of going up this valley, and it's flat, and to your left, it's just huge mountain peaks. And to your right, there's Death Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stunning that within, you know, a few dozen miles,
you can be
than 100 miles.
You can be standing on the highest point in the continental United States, and you look down to the lowest point in the continental United States, which is about 230 feet below sea level. And it seems to me, Whitney, is it like 17,000 feet, something like that?
Something like 14.
But
And then there's so many little roads you can go on, and you can spend a week online looking up on Google Maps all the different trails and little side adventures. On our way back, we stopped off and collected some obsidian and on this huge old ancient volcano cone, and it just went on for miles and miles and miles of just the most amazing rock you've ever seen. So
granite, yeah.
Yep.
By the way, I'll tell you something that I'm sure you don't know.
What's that?
The California coast, there's when you get up to, Santa Barbara, Point Conception, the coastline goes east and west instead of north-south.
Yep.
And there's a mountain range, the San Inez Mountains, that 50 miles of contiguous east-west orientation. Well, why is that? What caused that to happen? Why did it get pushed out that way?
I don't know why, but I do know that most mountain ranges are oriented north-south. And it's
all of them. The only one in North America, other than the very tip of South America, is that one. But the reason that is that Yosemite, about the, that was El Capitan, and the granite
Half
that's
dome,
there.
Yeah.
Half Dome. Well, that granite is not just on top of the ground. And it is so solid and so strong. And the continental shift over millions and millions and millions of years, as it pushes up, it couldn't move it. Huh. So it got pushed out to the west.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, that's...
well, geology is real time, and it's fascinating to see both on the western and eastern Sierra mm-hmm. what's going on. And the Rim of Fire, which is kind of the whole Pacific here, has been pretty active this past week or two, and just kind of a good reminder to always stay prepared. No matter where you are, you never know what may happen, and always...
Well, you know, speaking of that, when you're going into eastern Sierras, and you can... It's like we were talking about the golden trout in a lake that's 10,000 feet above sea level.
Yep.
And that's the only place you're going to find them.
Right.
Because they don't live in lakes lower than that. But anytime you go in the mountains, I don't care if it's June, July, or August, you go prepared. Because you'd be surprised that the wind come up, it can start snowing on you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, so,
and definitely, you know, don't take your Prius.
right. You do want to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about. I've got a fishing trip to Alaska. Well, actually, you've got a trip coming up too to Loretto. Yeah.
Yep.
He's already gone home.
But and that's the end of June.
Going to be the end of June, beginning of July. There's
the
Villa del Palmar in Loretto that's putting on a Dorado mm-hmm. fishing tournament, mm-hmm. which should be really exciting.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to be there because you're going to be.
Taking up group to Alaska.
Oh wow! Well, what are you doing up in Alaska?
Well, you go to Baja. I'll go to Alaska. How do we? What do you think?
Sounds good. I'll wave to you. You wave to me.
Yeah. But I want to talk real quickly. I think we've got 4 spots left for the Alaska trip. And as you know, as I'm sure you know, Marco, your average cost to do a fishing trip in Alaska is going to run you about $1,000 a day by the time you're all in.
Okay. Right.
And this particular trip is 5 nights. 4 days fishing, of course, actually 5 if you get your plane schedule right, or even 6 if you're really greedy.
Right.
But you'll fly into Ketchikan, normally out of Seattle. You can fly from, you know, anywhere in the world, but you just get to Seattle and fly Alaska Air to Ketchikan.
Okay.
And Clover Pass Resort is going to pick us up in the van. It's about a 20-minute ride up to Clover Pass, and you check in, and once you're there, you're there. All you have to do is walk out of your room, walk down, you know, to the dock, get on your boat, and go.
Oh, wow.
And you are your own captain.
Right.
So we got 20-foot covered boats, and, you know, if you need a guide, don't count on me. But we'll make sure we're taken care of. If you've never done it before, I'll take you fishing.
Right.
But if you want to just go off on your own, that's fine. And then, you know, you have get up, you have breakfast, you go out in the water for 3, 4, 5 hours or whatever, come back in, have a hot lunch, go back out again for another 3 or 4 hours, whatever you want. And then come back in and have dinner. And that time of the year, it'll stay light. You can still read a newspaper at 11 o'clock at night outdoors.
Oh, wow.
And the sun sets, and it's just absolutely beautiful.
I can only
but
imagine.
It is all-inclusive. I mean, all-inclusive.
Okay.
Which means your accommodations, your food, your fish processing, your boat, your bait, your tackle. The only thing that's not included is your fishing license and the tax, which is combined together is like $80.
Okay.
And then, of course, you want to leave a tip or tip while you're up there.
Right.
But it really is all inclusive. And so that should be worth how much?
Well, 5 days, $5,000.
You're close.
Plus?
You're close.
Yeah.
$17.95.
Wow. Wow.
And all you got to do is get in touch with me. We've got 4 spots left. And we're doing it over the 4th of July weekend this year, so that 4th of July is on a Monday.
Okay.
So what it means is that we're going to go up on Friday and come back on Wednesday. So even if you're, you know, a poor working slob, you know, you're only going to lose 1 or 2 days work, as nobody's going to work Friday or Monday or probably Tuesday anyway.
So that's a great way for someone who's never been up there to really experience Alaska.
And bald eagles are like seagulls up there. Yeah. It's just incredible.
And you can find out more information on our Facebook page or
realfunadventures.com.
All right.
But anyway, just get in touch and we'll figure out how to do it for you. But you are listening to fishtalkradio.com. Please go to the website, fishtalkradio.com. Listen to today's show as many times as you want. Get some more information and get in touch with us. We appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be talking to you soon. I'll drift around making gator sound.